Good morning, America. Good morning to Christian Identity. Good morning to the all the right wingers who are Jew savvy. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And we are here live on Eurofolk Radio. Today is February 17, 2019, and we're going to do more here about the slimeball Herod, the Edomite, who pretended to be king of Judah for the vast majority of his life. Very good. So thank you all for listening. And let me just say, first of all, good morning, Pastor Steve. Yeah, and the news is getting better and better all the time. We just watched a video, a rabbi in France advising Jews to leave France because it's such a bad situation there, a situation which the Jews created by, number one. Go ahead. Yeah, right. Yes, yes. That's the good news. Yeah, right. With all the Jews inviting Muslims to rape white women in France, and occasionally they might rape a Jewish woman, but lots of attacks against Jews throughout France, especially in Paris. It's getting impossible for Jews to live anywhere, really. But guess what? Right? Collect your stipend from the Holocaust. Yeah, maybe there's enough there to get a plane ticket to France. That's the bad news. That's where most of these Jews are heading to Canada. They're heading to Canada. And, right? Okay, so shades of World War II. Okay. The Jews having to leave Europe and go somewhere else. But this... Right, but this Holocaust they designed on their own, and it's about time that they get the blowback of their corrupt policies. All right, folks, so that is exceptionally good news. And the Democratic Party is self-destructing as we speak. Liberals, right. Yeah. As long as it's not martial law, if it's just an emergency about the border, all those Mexican drug lords and Nancy Pelosi, whose family is involved in organized crime, she's in thick with the Mexican drug lords, etc. Sex trafficking, Yeah. And so. Right? Yeah. Or they're in hiding. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody says can't hear Steve. Wait a minute. Okay. Coming across here. Well, I'm going to have to tick B1. All right. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. Go ahead, Steve. Oi.
Yeah, you may get some echo on your your end.
I can hear myself speak, and I just love to, Oh, never mind.
Yeah. It's okay, weird. Okay.
There he is. I am.
Well, I had to do what Paul said you should never do. You should never tick B1 and channel 2, but I find that's what I have to do sometimes to get my guests on the air, okay? So there's still a glitch in this system. But thank you all.
Glitch of the West.
Yeah, that's right. But we were just prattling on about the difficulty the Jews are having in staying somewhere. But Pastor Steve.
Yeah.
The Jews claim that Palestine is their country. Why don't they go there?
Yeah.
Why don't they go there?
I think that would be a fine idea. That way we could drop just one bomb. Never mind.
No, we don't need to do that. In fact, I was talking with Pastor Greg yesterday, and he was talking about how the tares are going to burn in the end time.
Well, how is he?
He's doing better. He's doing much better. He's been down in the dumps, actually mourning for true Israel. Our people are so dumbed down that they don't even know who they are. And the sadness.
We should have stayed on and helped educate them. You don't leave your post because you get down in the dumps. I get down in the dumps.
Yeah. Well, he's contemplating coming back.
Fight harder.
He's contemplating coming back. So that'd be even more good news. Folks, 2019 has started out with a bang for us. Nothing but bad news for the Jews. And bad news for the Jews is good news for us. That's just all there is to it.
Bad news for the Jews is good news for the world.
That's right. Yeah. So with everything that's going on, and we're in the process of fixing our technical glitches, and hopefully that will be resolved. And John Friend, later today on his show, I think that's at 6 Eastern, if I'm not mistaken, he's also going to try to take calls. We're not going to try to take calls for this show. There's only particular shows that we're going to take calls. Restoration Hour and Fake News Now and John Friend's Reality Realist Report. So for now, those will be the only ones we'll take live calls. But in the meantime, we're here to continue the story of Herod, the Edomite, the usurper, who is the quintessential Jewish interloper, parasite, subversive, and actually, what's the psychological condition? Paranoid schizophrenic, right?
Well, surely not.
Yeah, and everything that Josephus writes about Herod proves it. Okay,
Josephus is tippy-toeing around certain things because Herod had the ear of Rome. He was appointed. He had a lot of power. And Josephus had to be very careful. Like a lot of guys today, you can't say certain things or you get locked up in certain countries.
Right.
Well, we're freer here than a lot of other places. But in a lot of places, if you say what we say here, you're going to get your door kicked in.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If you put out certain kinds of songs.
Yeah.
You'll get hassled.
So I find it amazing. The Jews claim that Palestine is their country, but given the choice for leaving France, they prefer Canada to their own country. What's up with that, folks? I thought their country was Palestine. Why don't they ever go there? Could it be maybe that whole Zionist dream is a ruse and they never intended to go to Palestine in the first place?
Well,
excuse me for speculating.
We've had all this Wailing Wall business when Trump and all the rest of them at the Wailing Wall and
tear down that wall. Tear down that wall.
that leads me to be very suspect of any politician. I mean, things are not really going to be right until Yeshua returns.
That's right.
And we're watching the world, not just the United States, Canada, Europe. We're watching the whole world get ready to blow up. There are going to be physical ramifications of all this stuff. You're not going to get out of this, and I hate to say this, we're not going to get out of this nonviolently. I'm not advocating violence, but I don't have to advocate it. It's coming whether we like it or not.
Right. Brother Abraham makes a good point. ask a Judeo why the Wailing Wall still stands. If Jesus said, not a stone will be left standing. And it was. That temple was completely torn apart stone by stone. Yet yep. The Jews still claim that wall is still standing. No.
Well, they claim a lot of things, Eli.
Right.
Because they claim it doesn't make it so.
Mm-hmm.
They claim all kinds of stuff.
Which is true about everything that Jesus says.
They are liars. Their father is the father of lies. You know, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
If a Jew says it, be very careful.
Right. If he's not lying, he's setting you up for a yet bigger lie. That's all you need to know, folks. All right, let's get into this. Chapter 8 of Book 15, Antiquities of Judah, by our cousin, Josephus. He was a Judahite, not a Jew, folks. I will read the introduction and then go ahead and take paragraph 1. How 10 men of the citizens of Jerusalem made a conspiracy against Herod for the foreign practices he had introduced, which was a transgression of the laws of their country, concerning the building of Sebaste and Caesarea and other edifices of Herod. So, Josephus has documented throughout the story of Herod how the indigenous Judahites were always trying to get rid of Herod, but Rome prevented that from happening. Okay?
Yeah.
And so, and whenever courageous Judahites did so, they met a horrible fate, usually, as we'll find out here. All right, go ahead, take it.
They got Arkansided before Arkansas.
There you go.
All right, paragraph 1 of chapter 8. Pardon me. On this account it was that Herod revolted from the laws of his country and corrupted their ancient constitution by the introduction of foreign practices. This constitution ought to have been preserved inviolable, by which means we became guilty of great wickedness afterwards, while those religious observances which used to lead the multitude to piety were now neglected. Well, he was an Edomite. He didn't
That's
follow
right.
Israelite laws. For, in the first place, he appointed solemn games to be celebrated every fifth year. Games, okay?
The Olympic Games, but people,
like
the Olympic
Greeks
Games.
And the Romans, mm-hmm. in honor of Caesar, and mm-hmm. built a theater at Jerusalem, and as also a very great amphitheater in the plain, where they had gladiators and all
yep.
that stuff.
Right.
Both of them were indeed costly works, but opposite to the Judahite customs. For mm-hmm. we have had no such shows delivered down to us as fit to be used or exhibited by us. Yet did he celebrate these games every 5 years in the most solemn and splendid manner. He also made proclamation to the neighboring countries and called men together out of every nation, the wrestlers also, and the rest of those that strove for the prizes in such games were invited out of every land, both by the hope of the rewards there to be bestowed and by the glory of victory to be there gained. So the principal persons that were the most eminent in these sorts of exercises were gotten together, for there were very great rewards for victory proposed, not only to those that performed their exercises naked.
I guess they get double pay for that.
Well.
Oh, it's like Hollywood.
But to those that played the musicians also and were called Themelesi. And he spared no pains to induce all persons, the most famous for such exercises, to come to this contest for victory.
And get their Academy Award.
He also proposed no small rewards to those who ran for the prizes in chariot races when they were drawn by two or three or four pairs of horses. He also imitated everything, though never so costly or magnificent, in other nations out of an ambition that he might give most public demonstrations of his grandeur.
Mm-hmm.
Inscriptions also of the great actions of Caesar and trophies of those nations which he had conquered in his wars, and all made of the purest gold and silver, encompassed the theater itself. Nor was there anything that could be subservient to his design, whether it were precious garments or precious stones set in order, which was not also exposed to sight in these games. He had also made a great preparation of wild beasts and of lions themselves in great abundance, and of such other beasts as were either of uncommon strength or of such a sort as were rarely seen. These were prepared either to fight with one another, or that men who were condemned to death were to fight with them. And truly, foreigners were greatly surprised and delighted at the vastness of the expenses here exhibited, and at the great dangers that were here seen. But to natural Judahites, this was no better than a dissolution of those customs for which they had so great a veneration. It appeared also no better than an instance of barefaced impiety to throw men to wild beasts for the affording delight to the spectators, and it appeared an instance of no less impiety to change their own laws for such foreign exercises.
Mm-hmm. What have the Jews done to America?
Mm-hmm. But above all the rest, the trophies gave most distaste to the Judahites, for as they imagined them to be images included within the armor that hung around them, they were sorely displeased at them, because it was not the custom of their country to pay honors to such images.
Amen. Over to you. Yeah. Well, we can see here that Herod, again, is the prototype of the materialistic self-aggrandizing and self-glorifying Jew. I mean, we see these types of Jews everywhere. Well, they can't help it.
He's an Edomite, and
right?
He's following
Edomite.
The tainted bloodline.
That's right. Now, he's
doing what comes natural to him.
That's right. My copy here has a footnote on these games, the Thymelechi,
yes,
or whatever.
Too.
Yeah, go ahead and read it, and if you got it.
I have to go find it.
Oh, okay. Here we go. All right, you got it. Okay.
These grand plays and shows and
Thymelechi or whatever it is.
Thymelechi,
yeah.
Or music meetings and chariot races when the chariots were drawn by two, three, or four pairs of horses.
Shindigs.
Instituted by Herod at his theaters were still, as we see here, looked on by the sober Judahites as heathenish sports, and tending to corrupt the manners of the Judahite nation, and to bring them in love with paganish idolatry and paganish conduct of life, but to the dissolution of the law of Moses, and accordingly were greatly and justly condemned by them, as appears here and everywhere else in Josephus. Nor is the case of our modern masquerades, plays, operas, and like pomps and vanities of this wicked world of any better tendency under Christianity.
Wow.
Ow.
Ooh. Thank you. But thank you, Mr. Whiston, for pointing that out, because that's what we teach, right?
Well, the truth is the truth. It doesn't matter who teaches it.
That's right.
It's still the truth.
Okay.
You know, so, that's what David James has been saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been saying. That's what you have been saying. All of us have been putting this out, putting
Swift,
out Compere, the truth.
But
the same way with David really going into some of these other books and giving his take on it, he has stuff that he is presenting that I have not presented because he has a different viewpoint, and Yahweh has blessed him with all this insight. So all of us are working in concert in service to the Father.
Amen.
And that's the main point.
That's the main point. Okay, section 2. Nor was Herod unacquainted with the disturbance they were under, and as he thought it unseasonable to use violence with them, so he spake to some of them by way of consolation, and in order to free them from that superstitious fear they were under. Yet could not he satisfy them, but they cried out with one accord out of their great uneasiness at the offenses they thought he had been guilty of, that although they should think of bearing all the rest, yet would they never bear images of men in their city, meaning the trophies, because this was disagreeable to the laws of their country. Yeah, the Mosaic
to
law.
To make no graven image.
Amen. Now, when Herod.
Very plain.
Yeah. But Herod was an Edomite, and the Edomites don't care. But today, they pretend. The Jews pretend to follow that law. But I can tell you, I've been in many rabbinical homes in my contracting career, and every rabbinical home is plastered with images of rabbis, right? Right on the wall there, right? Here's my favorite rabbi. Now, when Herod saw them in such a disorder, and that they would not easily change their resolution unless they received satisfaction in this point, he called to him the most eminent men among them and brought them upon the theater and showed them the trophies and asked them what sorts of things they took these trophies to be. And when they cried out that they were the images of men, he gave order that they should be stripped of these outward ornaments which were about them and showed them the naked pieces of wood, which pieces of wood, now without any ornaments, became matter of great sport and laughter to them, because they had before always had the ornaments of images themselves in derision. So, you know, so he left the frames, so to speak. He left the frames up, and eventually he put the pictures back, right? Little by little. Back to you.
There you go. This is section 3. When, therefore, when, therefore, Herod had thus got clear of the multitude and had dissipated the vehemency of passion under which they had been, the greatest part of the people were disposed to change their conduct and not to be displeased at him any longer. But still, some of them continued in their displeasure against him for his introduction of new customs and esteemed the violation of the laws of their country is likely to be the origin of very great mischiefs to them, so that they deemed it an instance of piety rather to hazard themselves, and it has in brackets, to be put to death.
Right.
Than to seem as if they took no notice of Herod, who, upon the change he had made in their government, introduced such customs, and that in a violent manner, which they had never been used to before, and indeed in pretense a king. Okay, note that.
Mm-hmm.
Pretense a king.
Thank you.
A fake king, but in reality one that showed himself an enemy to their whole nation.
Okay, now what Josephus is telling us here applies to America and the Jews, the enemy within, because our people the Americans, the Christian Americans, did their absolute best to prevent the Jews from coming here from Europe. Okay, and we actually had laws against such people coming in, but the Jews bribed the officials at Ellis Island, and of course the politicians as well, and they kept, to the tune of, well, millions of Jews entered America in the 1890s as unwelcome guests. Invaders, party crashers. Back to you.
Well, it's like Lord of the Rings, okay, where you're fighting the orcs, these hybrid misshapen creatures, and they're so evil, and you're fighting them, but yet in your closest companions in your government, you've got orcs in among them.
That's right.
So Trump has surrounded himself with
orcs.
And you're not going to get rid of the orcs when you're using other orcs.
That's right.
Okay. So wakey, wakey, folks. All is not, when he's over there with the beanie and he's recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of the Talmudists.
Right.
That's fake, folks.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking to him as the great savior. He may get some good things done, like Nebuchadnezzar was used to punish Israel. Okay, Yahweh used him as punishment. Even though he was not an Israelite and he wasn't a godly man, he was evil. We're in apostasy still. And only the remnant is coming out from among them. The bulk of Judeo-Christianity today is in total apostasy, and it's going along with this Judaic program.
Mm-hmm.
And we are continuing to receive punishment from Yahweh. Now, he's going to preserve the remnant. But if Yeshua comes back and these other people are still on that side of the fence, the grace period will have ended and they will be destroyed. And we tell people that, oh man, you're just a hater. Look, it says so in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to believe the scripture because it rebuts their lifestyle. So all we can do is keep on preaching the truth. We can't change anybody or make anybody make a decision. They have to do that on their own. And we can grieve for them, but hey, look, we just got to do what Yahweh has us do. Section 282, on which account 10 men that were citizens of Jerusalem conspired together against him and swore to one another to undergo any dangers in the attempt and took daggers with them under their garments, and in brackets, for the purpose of killing Herod. Number 283. Now there was a certain blind man among those conspirators who had thus sworn to one another on account of the indignation he had against what he had heard to have been done. He was not indeed able to afford the rest any assistance in the undertaking, but was ready to undergo any suffering with them, if so be they should come to any harm, insomuch that he became a very great encourager of the rest of the undertakers.
Okay.
To kill Herod.
Right. So here we see that the true Judahites who still believed in Torah realized that Herod was a usurper and had to go. Right? Okay. But were they praying to Yahweh to get rid of Herod? You know, it sounds like that they had simply lost touch with Yahweh and try to take care of all these problems by themselves, right? We don't know the state, spiritual state of Judah at this point, but it is obviously very low.
Yeah.
All right. Yes.
Your turn, section four.
Okay, when they had taken this resolution, and that by common consent, they went into the theater, hoping that in the first place Herod should not escape them, as should fall on him so unexpectedly, and supposing, however, that if they missed him, they should kill a great many of those that were about him. And this resolution they took, though they should die for it, in order to suggest to the king what injuries he had done to the multitude. These conspirators, therefore, standing thus prepared beforehand, went about their design with great alacrity. Mr. Spock's favorite word.
Readiness.
Yeah, the readiness. But there was one of those spies of Herod, that were appointed for such purposes, to fish out and inform him of any conspiracies that should be made against him, who found out the whole affair and told the king of it as he was about to go into the theater. Now, I find this very interesting because we in Identity have had many encounters with white nationalists who say, well, let's overthrow the Jews with violence. Let's kill them all with 2x4s, right? And since they're not interested in the Bible, tells us who can make war against the beast. And if you have any sense, they control the military, they control the FBI, the CIA, and every other agency of government. How are you going to make war against these people? You're going to be run over like a steamroller.
Have to wait till Yeshua returns.
That's right.
The commanding general hasn't come back yet.
Okay, Pastor Steve, could you paste the URL if you're reading from a website? Israelite One.
No, I've got my book of Josephus open, brother.
Okay, me too. I've got an actual book. So Israelite One.
Yeah, me
One,
too.
Well, Antiquities.
We both have extensive libraries.
Right. Yeah, it should be available online, Israelite One. So you just have to search for it, okay? All right, so he had a spy. And guess what, Pastor Steve? The Jews have spies in the alt-right, in the Klan, in Christian
CIA.
Identity. You're reading my lips, yeah. Right? They have spies everywhere, just like Herod did. Let's continue.
Well, we've exposed some of those spies, and they've been kicked out.
That's right. That's right. So when he reflected on the hatred which he knew the greatest part of the people bore him, and on the disturbances that arose upon every occasion, he thought that this plot against him not to be improbable. Accordingly, he retired into his palace and called those that were accused of this conspiracy before him by their several names. And as upon the guards falling upon them, they were caught in the very fact and knew that they could not escape. They prepared themselves for their ends with all the decency they could, and so as not to at all to recede from their resolute behavior, for they showed no shame for what they were about, nor denied it. But when they were seized, they showed their daggers and professed that the conspiracy they had sworn to was a holy and pious action, that what they intended to do was not for gain or out of any indulgence to their passions, but principally for those common customs of their country, namely Torah, which all the Judahites were obliged to observe or to die for them. This was what these men said out of their undaunted courage in this conspiracy. So they were led away to execution by the king's guards, and Josephus being very flattering to these people. So they were led away to execution by the king's guard, and this would be, you know, if the Caesar would read these words, he might consider these words to be maybe a little too flattering, right?
Ooh.
Right? Right?
This next passage, I'll read this.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Right? Let's see, where was I? This was what these men said out of their undaunted courage in this conspiracy. So they were led away to execution by the king's guards that stood about them, and patiently underwent all the torments inflicted on them till they died. Nor was it long before that spy who had discovered them was seized on by some of the people out of the hatred they bore to him, and was not only slain by them, but pulled to pieces, limb from limb, and given to the dogs.
Oh, yeah!
Yay!
Now, let's pause for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You got a dagger. These people are going to torture you to death. You're going to die anyway.
Yeah.
Do you want to go fighting. Alone?
Yeah, go down fighting. Yeah.
Yeah. You got a dagger. You might get somebody and get his sword, and then you got a dagger and a sword, and if they shoot you with arrows or with spears or whatever, you're going to go anyway, and it would be a more merciful death than what they were going to do to you on
exactly
the torture block.
That's exactly right.
So I would not submit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but that, you know.
Yes.
Well, it's like my situation when I got into that little firefight. I can deal with this one guy now,
mm-hmm.
or all of them in 5 minutes.
Right. Right.
So,
yeah.
He
in which
started
case,
it. I finished it. I
there
went
you
to
go.
Prison. They got me a year and a half later.
Mm-hmm.
But they came in very carefully because they were scared of me.
Right. Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, and had they fought against the guards, they might still have accomplished their end and got rid of Herod.
Yeah, just if one of them got to him, they could have stuck him. But
that's right.
It wasn't to be.
And this is exactly what Solzhenitsyn said about the communists in Russia. If any of the Russian people had had the guts to just fight back against the KGB when they broke your door down in the middle of the night, you know, because they all knew it was happening. All the townspeople had to do was gather together, lay a trap for the KGB, and then kill them all.
Well, that's why they want to disarm the American people today.
That's right.
They're afraid of us.
They are. They
With
are afraid
good
of
reason.
Us.
With good reason.
Mm-hmm. And their KGB is called the CIA and FBI. Etc., etc., because the Jews have taken total control of all of our agencies, all of our government agencies.
That's so like it's, the little song, Alphabet Soup, that
that's
you play
right.
at the beginning of the show.
Amen. You know, Carl Klang had that down. Continuing, this execution was seen by many of the citizens, yet would not one of them discover the doers of it, till upon Herod's making a strict scrutiny after them by bitter and severe tortures. Certain women that were tortured confessed what they had been seen done, the authors of which fact were so terribly punished by the king that their entire families were destroyed for this, their rash attempt. Yet did not the obstinacy of the people and the undaunted constancy they showed in the defense of their laws make Herod any easier to them, but he still strengthened himself after a more secure manner and resolved to encompass the multitude every way, lest such innovations should end in open rebellion. Pastor Steve, the Jews are in the same state today.
What goes around comes around. There's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Those who forget history are condemned to repeat it.
Yes.
Da 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 da. On and on. All these platitudes we've had over time, and they're all true.
Amen. Amen.
You can only push the Anglo-Saxon people so far, they've just about reached their limit.
Yeah. So they're doubling
Cucks
down
and
on
the
all
the
repressions.
And the libtards, they're beyond hope. They're done. They're going to suffer. But I've been a friend and I've helped you, and they'll kill them anyway.
I've been a good guy.
Yeah, right.
A good Shabbos guy.
Right.
Yeah, well, we don't need you anymore. Sorry.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Section 5. Since, therefore, he had now the city fortified by the palace in which he lived, and by the temple, which had a strong fortress by it called Antonia, and was rebuilt by himself, he contrived to make Samaria a fortress for himself also against all the people, and called it Sebaste. Okay, why are they building all these FEMA camps?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Supposing that this place would be a stronghold against the country.
Against his own people.
Not inferior to the former.
Against his own people, Josephus is telling. Well, not his people, but against through Judah.
Against the actual Israelites.
Yeah, that's right.
So he fortified that place, which was a day's journey distance from Jerusalem. and which would be useful to him in common to keep both the country and the city in awe. He also built another fortress for the whole nation. It was of old called Strato's Tower, what was by him named Caesarea. Moreover, he chose out some select horsemen and placed them all on the great plain and built for them a place in Galilee called Gaba with Hesebonitis in Perea. And these were the places which he particularly built. Got to turn a page and it's stuck together. Come on.
While he was always inventing somewhat further, right? Constantly inventing
new traditions. And these were the places which he particularly built while he was always inventing something further for his own security and encompassing the whole nation with guards.
Huh?
That's like all our SWAT teams.
That's
and all
right.
The rest of the stuff. They're so scary.
Yeah, and Stalin had his bags always packed because he was afraid that the people would rise up against him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That they might by no means get from under his power nor fall into disturbances, which they did continually appall upon any small commotion like the riots that break out today. And that if they did make any commotions, he might know of it, while some of his spies might be upon them from the neighborhood and might both be able to know what they were attempting and to prevent it. And when he went about the building the wall of Samaria, he contrived to bring there many of those that had been assisting him in his wars, and many of the people in that neighborhood also, whom he made fellow citizens with the rest. The Samaritans were never citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had apostatized, and that's where the golden calves were and all that stuff.
And most of them were not even Israelites.
So. At that point, no.
Yeah.
They had been replaced. This he did out of an ambitious desire to build a temple, and out of a desire to make the city more eminent.
Oh, the Jerusalem temple. They want that third temple, don't they?
Yep. But mainly because he contrived that it might at once be for his own security and a monument of his magnificence. He also changed its name and called it Sebaste. Moreover, he parted the adjoining country, which was excellent in its kind among the inhabitants of Samaria, that they might be in a happy condition upon their first coming to inhabit. Besides all which, he encompassed the city with a wall of great strength.
Ah, now there's Herod's wall.
Build the wall. Walls don't work.
That's the Wailing Wall.
Made use of the slope of the place for making its fortifications stronger.
I have to make a note right here, because this is Herod's wall. That's the wall that the Jews worship today.
Well,
idol worshippers that they are.
He was one of them, of course.
That's right.
Nor was the compass of the place made now so small as it had been before, but was such as rendered it not inferior to the most famous cities, for it was 20 furlongs in circumference. Now, within and about the middle of it, he built a sacred place of a furlong and a half in circuit and adorned it with all sorts of decorations and therein erected a temple, which was illustrious on account of both its size and beauty. And as to the several parts of the city, he adorned them with decorations of all sorts also. And as to what was necessary to provide for his own security, he made the walls very strong for that purpose and made it for the greatest part a citadel.
Mm-hmm.
And as to the elegance of the building, it was taken care of also that he might leave monuments of the fineness of his taste and of his beneficence to future ages. That's Herod's wall, Herod's temple.
That's right, the Wailing Wall, folks. It was built by Herod. It's not the remains of the Second Temple. Under no circumstances is that true,
not.
As the Jews falsely claim. All right. Okay. Very good. This is so informative. This is so informative. All right. Go ahead.
I'm just enjoying the heck out of this.
Yes.
Just really.
Truth. Truth plainly spoken.
Man.
But of course, as we pointed out, Josephus had to hold back somewhat, not so as not to offend his Roman masters. Okay?
Yeah, he didn't want to suffer hoof and mouth disease.
Yeah, right. And this is true of Judeo-Christians today who cannot afford to offend their Jewish masters by pointing out their crimes.
Well, we'll do it for them.
Yeah, we'll do it for them. Okay. Yeah, and it's really, our message is trickling down, because what we see, as I talked about last night on the Restoration Hour, the post-millennials, who are the latest generation after the millennials, who are the most duped of all the generations, because they've been brought up
The dupes of hazard.
There you go, right? Who've been brought up by mass media. Yeah, they've been brought up by mass media, Hollywood, cell phones, and what do you call it? What's the internet good for them? It's spreading rumors about themselves and their friends, right? That's all it's worth.
The latest tweet?
Post-millennials, on the other hand, have grown up with fake news. They understand that it's fake. And what's happening is that these people are coming to identity. If you go to any of these websites where fake news is broadcast in either auditory or print form, in the comments section, you will see that just about everybody in the comments section is Jew savvy, many of them being Christian identians. All right? So that means our message is getting out. Praise Yahweh for that.
Yeah. My emails, man, I don't get a lot of emails, but the ones I get are of very high quality.
Amen.
And I had a brother write me yesterday and apologize, because he had Skip Baker's stuff on his website, and I told him I would not post anything on his website as long as Skip Baker was on it. And he investigated everything, and he investigated you.
Right. The Jew.
And he says, I was wrong, and I have removed all of Skip Baker's stuff from my website, and I owe you an abject apology. And I said, I have always had to stand firm for Eli, I said, because there are so many shills and liars out there, and by their fruits you shall know them, by their works. Well, I've watched your works, brother.
Thank you.
And
yours too.
Well, no, that you're only doing what I'm doing. You're obeying the Father.
Amen.
Okay, so the same way David James. David James has marvelous insight. It's not his insight. It's the Father's insight given to him by the Father.
Yeah.
And he is privileged, as we are, to present it to our audience.
Yes.
We are blessed. All of us are blessed by Yahweh to do his work. He chose us. The same way he chose Paul. He chose me. Man, I had a prison record and got in a shootout. But, of course, I was in identity back then, too. But he picked me out of all the people he could have picked, an old biker. And he picked Paul, who was a persecutor of the Christians.
Yes, right.
So he takes those that society would reject and really make something of them. He has preserved my life. I can't testify enough to this. It's his glory, man. It's his glory all the way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in fact, in the past, I have often thought about, using the bully pulpit here on Eurofolk Radio to expose those people who are calling me a Jew. I've got articles about them over at www.anglo-saxonisrael.com.
Well, they've got that fake photograph that they've got this other guy who is a Jew.
Right.
That has just a few, and he's got real dark black hair and a black beard. And you just take one look at him and you put the photograph side by side. You don't look anything like that guy.
Yeah, but Skip Baker claims that I do. He claims it's me, right? Right. So my strategy has simply been, okay, let the smears continue. Let the ad hominem attacks continue. Eventually they'll be found out. And a lot of, you know, a lot of our people have to go through this. You have to, just as I did in the, when I was making speeches for the Klan, I found out how infiltrated the Klan is.
Oh, right? Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
They're no longer the Klan. They're the Ku Klux Klans.
Right, right. And then it took me a while to realize, oh, there's shills in the Christian identity movement as well. All right, so, you know.
Now you go to a Klan rally and you got 10 Klansmen and 20 FBI agents.
That's right. That's what it was like with Pastor Butler, because many.
Oh, yeah. They set him up to lose all that property. That was done deliberately.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of good CI people were around Pastor Butler, but he was set up, and there were, as you're saying, there were more FBI plants in that organization than there were patriots. Okay, that's the reality, folks. All right, chapter 9, concerning the famine that had happened in Judea and Syria, and how Herod, after he had married another wife, rebuilt Caesarea and other Grecian cities. Okay, he had already murdered Mariamne, the true Judahite woman. Okay? This is what happens when our people conspire with the Jews. You no longer become useful for them. They get rid of you. It doesn't matter how well you serve them, liberals. I hope you're listening, liberals.
Well, he was seriously nuts anyway.
Right? Well, he was a Jew.
Well, he was.
Yeah. Right? Okay. Now, on this very year, which was the 13th year of the reign of Herod, look how much damage he's done in only 13 years, very great calamities came upon the country. Oh, look, all of the wars.
Obama Llama Ding Dong did during his reign.
Right, right. And the Bushes and the Clintons.
Oh, man.
Right? Yeah, and some even distrusted Reagan, but he at least set the country's economy back right, right? He defied the Federal Reserve Bank, which, by the way, Trump has tried to do. And I don't know if you saw the post, ladies and gentlemen, but when Trump talked to the Federal Reserve Bank and said, hey, you know, you're raising interest rates too much. And Rothschild, the son of Rothschild, he said to President Trump, you shouldn't effing get involved in the banks, right? That's the word he used, the F word, in responding to Trump, folks. That's what he did, okay? So, for all of Trump's faults, he is making more enemies among the Jews than any of the previous presidents, okay?
Well, that's why Lincoln was assassinated.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's why JFK was assassinated.
Amen. Yeah. He put out treasury notes, which would have put the Federal Reserve Bank out of business. He tried to eliminate the CIA, which is nothing but a Jewish plant in America, the direct result of the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, which prosecuted the Nuremberg trials and helped create the Holocaust rhetoric that we have to endure today. That's the CIA for you. They're not American. They're Jewish. All right? Let's continue. Very great calamities came upon the country, as we are finding out in America, under Jewish control. All right? Whether they were derived from the anger of God or whether were derived, or whether this misery returns again naturally in certain periods of time. No! It's because you had a Jew running the country. That's why. And here's a footnote. Here we have an eminent example of the language of Josephus in his writing to the nations, not Gentiles. different from that when he wrote to the Judahites, in his writings to whom he derives all such judgments from the anger of God. But because he knew many of the nations thought they might naturally come into certain periods, he complies with them in the following sentence. Okay, and this is the following sentence. Unless there's the footnote continues. Okay, yeah, so this must be the following sentence. For in the first place, there were perpetual droughts, and for that reason, the ground was barren. It still is today, isn't it?
Yes.
It still is today. So we're being told because
they
of Herod.
They have to import all their food.
And for that reason, the ground was barren and did not bring forth the same quantity of fruits that it used to produce. And after this barrenness of the soil, that change of food which the want of corn occasioned produced distempers in the bodies of men. GMO, anybody? GMO? That's what you get for letting the Jews produce our food. And our white farmers have capitulated to Monsanto. That's what they have done. Anybody got a distemper from GMO food? You better not eat GMO food, folks. Okay? And a pestilential disease prevailed, one misery following upon the back of another. And these circumstances, that they were destitute both of methods and cure and of food, made the pestilential distemper, which began after a violent manner, the more lasting. All right? All right. You go to any restaurant these days, and they're going to have the lowest quality food possible. Right? The lowest quality food possible. So don't be surprised if you get sick, or if you get what's that common disease when the meat stands around too long, right?
Salmonella,
right? And various other diseases.
Well, that's an Italian disease, salmonella.
Right? He was a singer. Salminiola. Okay.
Miniola.
The destruction of men also after such a manner deprived those that survive of all their courage because they had no way to provide remedy sufficient for the distresses they were in. Very interesting. There's another parallel here. With all of the vaccinations and drugs, the Jew Pharma is plying us with. Sedating our children in the schools because they're hyperactive. Why are they hyperactive? Because of all the sugar they eat, right? So food is a weapon, folks. Food is a weapon.
They have weaponized everything.
That's right. When, therefore, the fruits of that year were spoiled, and whatsoever they had laid up beforehand was spent, there was no foundation of hope for relief of remaining, but the misery, contrary to what they expected, still increased upon them. This might be a headline for us today. And this not only on that year, while they had nothing for themselves left at the end of it, but what seed they had sown perished also. GMO. At the same time, the Jews are preserving real seed in their underground warehouses because they plan on surviving. Yeah, right? And others, and intelligent white people do the same. There are companies in America that preserve organic seed, right? Non-GMO seed.
Right.
Okay. This distress they were in made them also out of necessity to eat many things that did not used to be eaten. Uh-oh. Pork, anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Nor was the king himself free from the distress any more than other men. Yeah, even the executive board of Monsanto. They won't eat their own garbage. They eat real food, right? But they're going to get sick too because it's coming back to them. So, as being deprived of that tribute he used to have from the fruits of the ground, and having already expended what money he had in his liberality to those whose cities he had built, nor had big government projects, federal dictator Rosenfeld, Jew, lying butcher Johnson, another Jew, Truman, another Jew, all these big spending Democrats totally in league with the Jews. Nor had any people that were worthy of his assistance, since this miserable state of things had procured him the hatred of his subjects, for it is a constant rule that misfortunes are still laid to the account of those that govern. Right?
Well,
you know,
if that's how you're going to rule, and you're going to, you want to play, you got to pay.
Blame it on the Republicans.
Yeah. Not much difference between them, actually.
That's right.
Section 2. In these circumstances, he considered with himself how to procure some seasonable help. But this was a hard thing to be done. While their neighbors had no food to sell them, and their money also was gone, had it been possible to purchase a little food at a great price. But
real food is expensive.
Our preppers are all crazy.
Yeah, right.
However, he thought it his best way, by all means, not to leave off his endeavors to assist his people. So he cut off the rich furniture that was in his palace, both of silver and gold, in so much that he did not spare the finest vessels he had, of those that were made with the most elaborate skill of the artificers, but sent the money to Petronius, who had been made prefect of Egypt by Caesar. And as not a few had already fled to him under their necessities, as he was particularly a friend to Herod, and desirous to have his subjects preserved, he gave leave to them in the first place to export grain. Because Egypt at one time grew a lot of grain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it does not now. And exporting the same, so that he was the principal, if not the only person, who afforded them what help they had. And Herod, taking care the people should understand that this help came from himself, did thereby not only remove the ill opinion of those that had formerly hated him, but gave them the greatest demonstration possible of his goodwill to them and care of them. He bribed them, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
For, in the first place, as for those who were able to provide their own food, he distributed to them their proportion of grain in the most exact manner. But for those many that were not able, either by reason of their old age or any other infirmity, to provide food for themselves, he made this provision for them. The bakers should make their bread ready for them.
Rationing. Who instituted rationing in America, folks? Federal dictator Rosenfeld. Back to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He also took care that they might not be hurt by the dangers of winter, since they were in great want of clothing also, by reason of the utter destruction and consumption of their sheep and goats, until they had no wool to make use of, nor anything else to cover themselves with.
Wow.
Their clothing wore out and rotted off of them, and they couldn't make more because they ate all the sheep and goats.
Yeah.
And when he had procured these things for his own subjects, he went further in order to provide necessities for their neighbors and gave seed to the Syrians, which thing turned greatly to his own advantage also, this charitable assistance being afforded most seasonably to their fruitful soil, so that everyone had now a plentiful provision of food.
Foreign aid, anybody?
Mm-hmm. Upon the whole, when the harvest of the land was approaching, he sent no fewer than 50,000 men, whom he had sustained, into the country, by which means he both repaired the afflicted condition of his own kingdom, with great generosity and diligence, and lightened the affliction of his neighbors who were under the same calamities. For there was nobody who had been in want that was left destitute of a suitable assistance by him. Further, there were neither any people nor any cities nor any private men who were to make provision for the multitudes, and on that account were in want of support, and had recourse to him, but received what they stood in need of, insomuch that it appeared upon a computation that the number of kori, I don't know what that means, of wheat, of 10 attic medimni apiece, that were given to foreigners, amounted to 10,000, and the number that was given in his own kingdom was about 80,000.
Let me just interject here, because we know that once the Jews get control of all commodities, they use those commodities to bribe foreign nations. Right? Just as under Roosevelt, under Truman, under LBJ, etc., and even under Nixon, we exported grain to the Soviet Union because the Soviet Union could not feed itself. And the middlemen were Jews, like the Freiburg family, right? But essentially, that grain was stolen from the American people by the Jews and given to the communists.
We have such a huge grain storage reserve here, we could just not plant for 5 years.
That's right. Yeah, we could weather that storm.
They're hoarding it, thereby artificially increasing the price.
Yes, yes.
Because if they sold at a reasonable price, the farms would go bankrupt faster than they are now.
Right, yeah.
It is artificially propping up farms that are actually not financially viable. What
needs just government
to be done
controls.
Is to break up those farms and go back to the family farm.
Right, corporate farming, yeah.
40 acres, everybody gets 40 acres, raise your own food. All right, but continuing on. Now it happened that this care of his and this seasonable benefaction had such influence on the Judeans and was so cried up among other nations as to wipe off that old hatred which his violation of some of their customs during his reign had procured him among all the nation, and that this liberality of his assistance in this their greatest necessity was full satisfaction for all that he had done of that nature. More bribes, as it also procured him great fame among foreigners.
All right. He's an internationalist.
And it looked as if these calamities that afflicted his lands to a degree plainly incredible came in order to raise his glory and to be to his great advantage. For the greatness of his liberality in these distresses, which he now demonstrated beyond all expectation, did so change the disposition of the multitude toward him, that they were ready to suppose he had been from the beginning not such a one as they had found him to be by experience, but such a one as the care he had taken of them in supplying their necessities proved him now to be. Good PR campaign by Herod.
Yep.
Over to you. Your turn.
Wowzer. Okay. I see that I missed a footnote from the previous section that I had read about the famine. This famine for 2 years that affected Judea and Syria seems to have been more terrible during this time than was in the days of Jacob. Genesis 41 and 42. And what makes them the comparison the more remarkable is this, that now as well as then the relief they had was from Egypt also, then from Joseph, the governor of Egypt under Pharaoh, king of Egypt, now from Petronius, the prefect of Egypt under Augustus, the Roman emperor. It is also well worth our observation here that these 2 years were a sabbatic year and a year of jubilee. Very interesting. Okay. So, well, because Judah and Judea were being ruled by Edomites, who did not practice the, you know, the sabbatical customs. Obviously, these customs had fallen into, you know, non-observance. He continues, for which providence during the theocracy used to provide a triple crop beforehand, but which became now, when the Judahites had forfeited that blessing, the greatest years of famine to them ever since the days of Ahab. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, William Whiston. Great observation. All right, section 3. About this time it was that he sent 500 chosen men out of the guards of his body as auxiliaries to Caesar, the Swiss guard for the papacy, whom Aelius Gallus led to the Red Sea, and who were of great service to him there. When, therefore, his affairs were thus improved and were again in flourishing condition, he built himself a palace in the upper city, raising the rooms to a very great height, and adorning them with the most costly furniture of gold, and marble seats, and beds. And these were so large that they could contain very many companies of men. These apartments were also of distinct magnitudes. Oh, by the way, this Aelius Gallus seems to be no other than the Aelius Largus, whom Dio speaks of as conducting an expedition that was about this time made into Arabia Felix. Okay, continuing. These apartments were also of distinct magnitudes and had particular names given to them, well, barracks. For one apartment was called Caesar's, another Agrippa's. He also fell in love again. To the extent that a Jew can actually love and married another wife, not suffering his reason to hinder him from living as he pleased. The occasion of this is his marriage was as follows. There was one Simon, a citizen of Jerusalem, the son of Boethus, a citizen of Alexandria, and a priest of great note there. Okay, remember, Alexandria was populated by not expatriate Judahites, but people, you know, because the population of Judah, you know, it continually grew, and Alexandria was one of their favorite destinations. These people had not yet been Judaized, or Talmudized, for a better term.
Yes. These,
okay, that came later. All right. So, at this point, Boethus would have been a true Judahite. Okay. And to the extent that the Alexandrian Judahites obeyed Torah, which we have no way of ascertaining to what extent they obeyed Torah, he would nevertheless have been a true Judahite. Okay. All right. So, a citizen of Alexandria and a priest of great note there. This man had a daughter who was esteemed as the most beautiful woman of that time, proving that she could not have been an Edomite woman. And when the people of Jerusalem began to speak much in her commendation, it happened that Herod was much affected with what was said of her. And now this girl's in trouble. Folks, this girl is in trouble. And when he saw the damsel, he was smitten with her beauty. Yet did he entirely reject the thoughts of using his authority to abuse her. In other words, raping her. And thoughts of using his authority to abuse her, as believing what was the truth, that by so doing he should be stigmatized for violence and tyranny. So he thought it best to take the damsel to wife. Right? And this, any of our women listening, if a Jew marries you, it's just to avoid the charge of rape. But even today, feminists will still accuse him of rape. So all this deceit that the Jews are guilty of creating is beginning to come down on their own heads.
Yeah, you raped me, yeah, but I didn't rape you. You know? Yeah, well, you thought about it. That's the same thing.
Yeah, right. You thought about it, right? Guilty. Man. Guilty. You're thought a man. Man. Guilty.
You're a man. Yeah, it's a man. Yeah.
Man. I guess we have to mansplain things to them so they get it right. And while Simon was of a dignity too inferior to be allied to him, but still too considerable to be despised, he governed his inclinations after the most prudent manner, by augmenting the dignity of the family and making them more honorable. So he immediately deprived Jesus, the son of Phabet, of the high priesthood. And conferred that dignity on Simon, and so joined the affinity with him by marrying his daughter. Politics. Playing politics with marriage and the high priesthood. Right? So if Herod was a good Jew and the Jews are Israelites, why do the Jews always violate Torah? Always. Back to you, Steve.
Well, one of those deals.
Mm-hmm.
Section 4. When this wedding was over, he built another citadel in that place where he had conquered the Judeans. When he was driven out of his government, and Antigonus enjoyed it. This citadel is distant from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. That's 60 furlongs.
Yeah.
How long, however long a furlong is.
About a block.
Okay, it was strong by nature and fit for such a building. It is a sort of a moderate hill raised to a further height by the hand of man until it was of the shape of a woman's breast.
Jewish art.
It is encompassed with circular towers and has a straight ascent up to it, which ascent is composed of steps of polished stones, in number 200. Within it are royal and very rich apartments of a structure that provided both for security and for beauty. About the bottom, there are habitations of such a structure as are well worth seeing, both on other accounts and also on account of the water which is brought there from a great way off and at a vast expense, for the place itself is destitute of water. The plain that is about this citadel is full of edifices not inferior to any city in size, and it having the hill above it in the nature of a fortress.
Right.
Section 5, over to you.
Yeah, so the Romans were adept at building sluices to deliver water to wherever. And obviously Herod made use of this technology. And of course, California is built on exporting water from the Colorado River to the orchards and farms of California. Without that water, California would have never had that kind of boom. But now California is going bust.
Well, they brought the water down out of the mountains with aqueducts.
Right, aqueducts.
Well, they did the same thing here.
That's right. That's right. And now, when all Herod's
Some of the Roman aqueducts that they built in Europe are still functioning.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the blessings our race has given to the world. The evil, toxic masculinity, inventions of toxic masculinity that the feminists hate so much. Section 5, and now when all Herod's designs had succeeded according to his hopes, he had not the least suspicion that any trouble could arise in his kingdom, because he kept his people obedient as well by the fear they stood in of him, for he was implacable in the infliction of his punishments as by the provident care he had shown towards them after the most magnanimous manner when they were under their distresses. Now I could say, dear listeners, that the Jews have done this to Germany and to most of Europe, and they're in the process of oppressing Americans as well. But they have not fully succeeded in destroying our freedom of speech, which they are attempting to do and have done everywhere else in the world except here in America. This is the one place where we can publicly speak out against the Jews, and they cannot legally prosecute us. They have to sit there and take it. And this is why America is still the last hope of the world. The last hope of the world. Every other nation in the world has capitulated. But still, he took care to have external security for his government as a fortress against his subjects. What are the Jews doing? They're building underground facilities for their protection. Once World War III comes down upon our heads, they hope to escape it. For the orations he made to the cities were very fine and full of kindness, and he was a good politician, and he cultivated a seasonable good understanding with their governors and bestowed presents on every one of them. You know how the federal government run by the Jews distributes money to the states in order to control the states?
Absolutely.
Inducing them thereby to be more friendly to him. And using, and this is how LGBT politics gets pervaded in the states. And abortion, and using his magnificent disposition so as his kingdom might be better secured to him, and this till all his affairs were everywhere and every way more and more augmented. Once big government starts, it never stops. But then, this magnificent temper of his and that submissive behavior and liberality which he exercised towards Caesar and the most powerful men of Rome obliged him to transgress the customs of his nation, or the nation he had usurped, and to set aside many of their laws. By building cities after an extravagant manner, and erecting temples, not in Judea indeed, for that would not have been born, or that not submitted to, by the Judahites, it being forbidden for us to pay any honor to images, or representations of animals after the manner of the Greeks, but still he did this in the country properly out of our bounds and in the cities thereof.
Boundaries, yes.
This is clumsily worded. We have another footnote here. I'm looking at the time, about 7 minutes left. We can probably finish this section, but the next section is very long. It may here be noticed how tyrannical and extravagant soever Herod were in himself and in his Grecian cities as to those plays and shows and temples for idolatry, yet durst even he introduce very few of them into the cities of the Judahites, who, as Josephus here notes, would not even have borne them, so zealous were they still for many of the laws of Moses. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what has happened to Christianity in America under Jewish rule? They have, at first, Christians stood fast against Jewish intrusions into our theology. But now they all practice what they call Judeo-Christianity. Folks, history has repeated itself in the modern world on a global scale. If you learn nothing else from these shows that we're producing on Herod, this is the fact, the Judean parallels.
Yep.
How modern Christians have submitted to the incursion of Jewish ideas in what was used to be Christianity. This is all Jewish doing, folks. Continuing. The apology which he made to the Judahites for these things was this, that all was done not out of his own inclinations, but by the commands and injunctions of others in order to please Caesar and the Romans. Of course, this was a blatant lie. He did this to gain favor with the Romans. As though he had not the Judahite custom so much in his eye as he had the honor of those Romans. Yeah, obviously. Well, yet, how about the Jew United Nations and the Jew European Union? European Junior?
Junior.
Yeah, there you go. You thought of it the same time I did.
Yeah.
Right? While yet he had himself entirely in view all the while, and indeed was very ambitious to leave great monuments of his government to posterity. I don't know what show it was on, Pastor Steve, that we talked about the EU administration building.
Yeah.
Is almost an exact replica of ancient Babylon. You know, the circular city?
Yep. Yep.
Right? Right, folks?
Nothing new under the sun.
It's in your face, Israelite. And very, very few Judeo-Christians suspect it because they're not students of the Bible.
No.
Far from it. Okay? Most white people deny the Bible. The European whites are mainly secular, socialists, and communists who hate the Bible, just like the Jews do. They've been trained by the Jews to be that way. Okay. Okay, so all these monuments he built for himself, whence it was that he was so zealous in building such fine cities and spent such vast sums of money upon them. End of section 5.
Okay, we'll take up with section 6. I have it marked in red.
Okay.
Or pink.
Right.
Highlighter.
Right, okay.
All my books are all highlighted.
All marked up. All marked up.
Because I use them.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They don't just sit on the shelf.
And we refer back
there,
to them.
They're not there. Like, there's a lot of people that have these great big libraries, and they're just cardboard boxes that made to look like books. They're not really books. They're hollow.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys have these huge things, and they have photographs of them and all that. But there's nothing in the boxes. They're just empty boxes. They look like books. But they're not books.
Just like the vaults at in Kentucky, where supposedly our money, the gold,
Fort Knox. Well, I have so many books that my bookshelves that I bought, I had to put steel braces under all the shelves to bear all the weight of all these massive books that I've got. I remember
we went to one of these salvage stores. Kentucky has pretty much all the same salvage stores that the rest of America does, you know. And we bought you a shelf system which collapsed on the weight of all the books you put out there, right? So you had to get better stuff, right?
I went out and I found one on sale and I bought it. And as I assembled it, I put great big heavy steel braces in underneath. Before I put any books in it.
Right, right. This is what we have to do.
It's holding up very, very well.
Yeah, yeah. And all of the reference books that we use that sit around wasting space and gathering dust among the Judeo-theologians. Yeah, we use those books.
Well, there's no dust on any of my stuff.
Yeah, right. Well, I blow the dust off of mine occasionally. But nevertheless, we use these books like Josephus.
You hear the shows.
Right.
Now, where do you think we get all this stuff?
Right.
We look it up.
Yeah, and it's important to have print copies of these books because then we can say, hey, look, when we put up a photocopy of one of these books and people question the authenticity of the photocopy, say, well, here it is. Get it, pick it up yourself. Right? We actually have the books, right?
Yeah.
And we're in the process of trying to gather, Brother Patrick is assisting us with this, a full set of the Talmud. A full set of the Talmud, folks. Clan Fiedron talks about the process of Talmudization of Christianity. Now here he quotes really quickly. I call this process the Talmudization of Christianity because Christianity will be the vehicle through which this society becomes Talmudic. Quote by Rabbi Martin Siegel, New York Magazine, January 18, 1972. How's them apples, folks? Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. We'll be back next week, and I'll be back with Pastor Martin's later on Voice of Christian Israel. Folks, thanks for listening.
Beep.